This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Before I begin, I want to welcome Cameron Spohr. He is our new curate. We're very excited to have you, Cameron. I hope you'll take an opportunity after the service to greet Cameron and then take the next 2 years to get to know him well and welcome him. I also want to acknowledge his wife. Marina is right here. Give us a little wave. Very good. In about a 6-week period of time, Cameron graduated from seminary, moved to Austin, got married, was ordained a deacon, and turned 30 years old. All in one. So he's already totally stressed out. But we are really excited to have you, brother. We have a lot of choices this morning. It's a fabulous Sunday. It's a bounty of some of the best stories in the Bible. But I find myself compelled to want to do something a little different than we normally do. We've been rolling through Paul's letter to the Galatians, and this is the end of it, the passage that we had today. And I think it would be a shame to move past it without thinking about it carefully, because we won't hear from Paul again in liturgy to the Galatians for another 3 years. So I would like to do a little teaching about the actual letter to the Galatians and see what we can find and if there's something that we can glean for our use today. So there's Bibles in the pew in front of you. I invite you to take those out. If you brought a Bible yourself, turn to Galatians. If you have one on your phone, that's fine. Open that one as well. It's in the New Testament. That's the back fifth of the book in your hand. I'm just helping you figure out where it is. It's okay. You can look in the index if you'd like. Or it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then you get Acts, Romans, the two letters to the Corinthians, then Galatians. Thank you, Baptist Sunday School, for teaching me that. Right. So get to Galatians, and we'll see if we can get a picture of what Paul's doing, what's going on, and then we'll turn our attention to the last half of the fifth chapter and then the sixth chapter before we're finished. So Galatians, Paul, as far as we know, Paul founded the churches in Galatia, which is a region that was filled with actually Celtic immigrants. And so they really were pagans as far as the Middle East was concerned. They very different religious practices. And so when the Christian faith begins to expand throughout the Mediterranean, Paul starts all these churches in Galatia. We're not sure how many churches, but they are pagans becoming Christians. But the majority of the Christians at the time were Jewish Christians, Jews who had also accepted that Jesus was the Son of God. And so this is a really interesting intersection of different experience and different worldviews and different understandings of how God works in the world, and on the list goes. So it'd be a fascinating thing to be in that conversation. So Paul starts these churches and then leaves and to start churches elsewhere. And then he gets word that some of the Jewish Christians are teaching the pagan Christians that they need to be circumcised. They need to start obeying the Hebrew laws as well. So it's this interesting conversation happening. Paul, himself a practicing Jew, observing Jewish ritual, still himself a circumcised member of the Hebrew people, takes offense at what they're asking the Gentiles to do. The Gentiles do not need to go through circumcision. They do not need to follow the law. They need to embrace Jesus. That's the message. Because the covenant that God has with the Hebrew people has now expanded through the death and resurrection of Jesus to be open to all the people in the world. And their avenue into that covenant is the resurrection of Jesus. It is not by obeying Hebrew law. And so this invitation to make the pagans be circumcised sends Paul off. And so he goes off for 4 chapters about how offensive this is. Matter of fact, a couple of years ago, Mark Wishkamper sent me this silly PDF, and it was called The Holy Bible, A Bridge Beyond All Usefulness. And it has a one-sentence description of the letter of Paul to the Galatians. It is, I speak for God, that's our agreement. If anyone else says they speak for God, they're full of it. That's the summary of the letter of Paul to the Galatians. So Paul is very enraged about this. He does credential about who he is, why he has authority, why they should listen to him instead of these other teachers that he doesn't even want to name. It's just a group of people as far as he's concerned. They're wrong. They're misleading the flock. But again, the purpose for this is for Paul, everything hangs on the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is the avenue into the heart of God. As we talked last week, all religious practice is designed to open the door between us and God, right? To sort of somehow get us into the presence of the divine, and hopefully the divine will be pleased with us. That is sort of the purpose of religious practice up to this point. But with the death and what Paul says is that basically none of that works. The only thing that works is for God to do it God's self. So God becomes incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, is crucified, taking on the sins of the world, and then is raised on the third day to deliver us from the power of sin and death. That is the story. That is the only thing Paul wants to talk about. So he is in a big argument saying, you will not make these people become practicing Jews, because for them to do that would be to go backwards, would undo the work of the cross. Because the work of the cross is what brings them into the presence of God and into reconciliation with one another. So about the fourth chapter, I think he must have realized he was in a big rant and he might want to catch his breath a little bit and maybe remind himself that he's actually a brother to all of these people and he's a teacher and he's just trying to get them to come around to his way of thinking, but that he's related to them in faith. And so in the fifth chapter, he kind of backs off a little bit, and he says, be careful when you're arguing with one another that you don't consume one another. I think he's talking to himself. You know, he's chastised enough that he realizes he needs to rein it in and say how much he loves these people. He says, if you argue enough, you will consume one another, and you'll do it by using the works of the flesh. And this is where we were last week. So we're in the fifth chapter, I think about the 18th verse, if you want to look and follow along. He delineates the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh, from Paul's perspective, are all those things that we do for self-motivation and for self, to benefit self, and they're all negative and destructive things. It's the warm sins of fornication and adultery and idolatry, and it's the cold sins of anger and malice and distrust and envy and dishonesty. So he puts all those things together. When you're living that way, everything comes crumbling down. So instead, he says, embrace the works of the Spirit. Now he's cautious here because he doesn't want to just replace one law with another one. But he wants people to live into the risen Christ. With the idea that once we experience the risen Christ, once we realize what God has done for us, and that the barriers between us and God have been lifted, and we now have access to God and to one another in the Spirit, the results of that will be the fruits of the Spirit, which he then delineates a little further down. He says there are grace and mercy and love and self-control and kindness. There is no law against these things, he says. And he says that love is the summary of all of the law. Love is the summary of the work of the cross. Therefore, if you're going to submit yourself to slavery, to the rules, submit yourself only to love. What are the rules of love? Kindness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says, he gets a warning. He said, it's up to you. And this is sixth chapter where we are for today that was read today. You're going to reap what you sow. You sow works of the flesh, dishonesty, anger, malice, frustration. That's what you're going to reap. You sow the works of the Spirit, kindness, love, gentleness, and self-control. That is what you will reap. And then he finally summarizes the whole thing by saying, all of it means nothing except the cross of Christ. All of it. None of it means a thing except the cross of Christ, under which we live by the fruits of the Spirit. And then he bids love and compassion to all his friends in Galatia. Galatians has been used as much as anything over the last 100 years to help churches in conflict figure out how to navigate conflict. It's been trucked out by consultants and pastors and senior wardens and all others saying, but yeah, we're supposed to live with the fruits of the Spirit. And here's what that looks like when we're in the midst of a big, deep debate about things. And I am very happy to stand in this pulpit and say, it's not really a letter we need to read at St. David's, because right now we're in a season that's kind of kind and gentle and loving. And if we have fusses, they're little fusses, like what do you want to have for lunch? They're not big fusses, like, you know, that could cause a lot of trouble in the life of a congregation. So I'm happy about that. So we might just say, good thing that was about them and it's not really about us, and we could sit down and move on to the table. But actually, I think there is another message perhaps for us in the modern world, even in a church that's healthy and where we're communicating pretty well. We give thanks to God for that. But I'm wondering about how we behave outside. How we behave outside the doors of this church. You know, it's no mystery to anyone. We're in one of the most politically tense times in the history of our country, certainly in my life, where every single time I turn on the radio, every single time I read an article, it is hard and it is deep and it is negative and it is filled with envy and malice and hate and spite and distrust. And it's worrisome. You know, listening to the commentaries just on the debates that were just last 2 weeks, the thing that I notice is it just the conversation seemed to always be about, well, who do they need to go after? Who do they need to tear down? Do they need to attack the president? Do they need to attack the front runner? Do they need to attack one another so that someone will see that no one else knows what they're doing except you? Bitterness, slander, envy, malice, fruits of the flesh, seeds of the flesh, sown all the time. And what is our bountiful harvest? It's distrust and malice, hatred. So maybe the reason Paul was really writing this letter to the Galatians is the same reason we're reading it to each other now. This is what the kingdom is about. It's far less about how we treat one another than it is how we behave out there. Because that's the testimony. That's how the world is going to know that the story of Jesus is true. It's how the world is going to know the story of Jesus has any power to change us and to transform us. What if the way we behave in here with love and gentleness and compassion and self-control is practice for the way we're called to behave out there? We step out into the world that is filled with malice and envy and strife and distrust, and we behave as people who are kind and compassionate and gentle, self-control, loving, honest, sowing the fruits of the Spirit, sowing the seeds of the Spirit in the world. And it makes my heart to think that we're so cynical in this world that we think the first thing we're going to think if we invited to do that is, well, you're going to be a sitting duck. You're going to get creamed. You're going to lose. Yeah, truth is, that's probably true. But then the world will see something else. The world will see, hey, there is another way to do this where we don't have to consume one another. We don't have to destroy each other. We don't have to tear each other down. We can disagree honorably and honestly and solve problems together, honestly, with kindness and love and mercy. And maybe it'll work. Maybe there's practical implications with this. But maybe it will show. It will show the thing that Paul concludes with. None of the rest of it matters. Only the cross of Christ. That is what God is showing the world. This is how much God loves you. This is how much God loves the world. So friends, I think Paul's calling all of us to go out and sow seeds. Sow seeds of the Spirit. Live with kindness and gentleness and love and self-control. And allow Christ to reign in your life. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you. You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.